Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205. Or you can check out schedule information online at WellgateSportsClub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, State of Jefferson. You know, it almost kind of feels like autumn's on its way this morning. You got that smoke in the air, and you got that kind of cool undertone to the temperature. Feels nice, pretty good, and happy. That always means harvest is on its way, and another year is about to wrap up, and you get to reap the benefits of everything that you've done for the year, and then cozy up for some good holidays, and watch the Super Bowl Super Bowls for us political junkies, and we got the elections coming and all that stuff, and starting to slide into the good time of the year here. At least my personal favorite time of the year is autumn. This is the Jefferson State of Mind, and you're here with Red Smith the Bear, and returning to us is Wynn Carpenter. Morning, Wynn.
Good morning.
So how was vacation?
It was wonderful. I got to go spend some time with family over in Nevada and check out the antelope hunt and see a few fresh kills, and it was all good.
Oh, I love eating antelope. Antelope jerky is one of my favorites. It's delicious.
It was all good.
Well, welcome back. So you got to tour Jefferson a little bit, too.
Oh, I did. Got to tour, northeastern California, where I grew up, and then on into Oregon and checking out some high desert up there, which was absolutely beautiful. The sagebrush isn't just the sage green, it's the yellow green right now at the tops of it. It was gorgeous.
So you get that, yeah.
Yeah, it was really pretty.
Yeah, it is an amazingly diverse state, our state of Jefferson, and it is beautiful about everywhere that you go.
Yep.
It's, you go from the redwoods to the high desert and a little bit of everything in between, and the fields and the valley. One of my favorite things is in the spring driving through the valley and smelling, all the crops that are being seeded and all that overturned dirt and that fresh, that earthy smell.
And the fresh cut alfalfa was awesome. We're driving through there, and I saw it. I rolled down the windows in the car, and my mom's like, oh, thank you. It was awesome.
It's one of those smells that kind of just brings back childhood.
Oh, yeah.
For me, fresh cut timber, when they're cutting white fir, or as we used to call it, piss fir at the mill, and you can smell it all through town. I love that smell, and it just, I don't know. I get nostalgic come around autumn time. I always get kind of happy, but who likes 110 and 115 degree weather anyway?
When everything's too dry to smell.
Yeah, exactly. You can't go outside and do anything. And anyways, we're sliding into the good part of the year. And speaking of the good part of the year, coming up next month, we're going to be having another assembly meeting, aren't we?
We are?
Yeah.
Where are we having that?
I don't know.
We are, October 30th. And it starts, doors open 8:30, and program starts 9:30. And it'll run to about 5 o'clock, depending on how long it takes to get everything done. And it's going to be at the Senior Center here in Reading, down on Benton Drive, 2290 Benton Drive. And we're going to be hanging out there for the day and learning everything we can, getting everything moving forward, making sure we're getting, being productive and making things moving forward as we need to be doing it.
Well, that's the massive leap that we took a couple of months, about a month ago,
in
Live Oak, and establishing the committees that are going to be the foundation of the Jefferson government, the building of the Legislative Assembly and all of those different things that are going on, and, you know, to make sure that everything's on track and give it the next push forward and
right.
make sure that it's going. It's exciting stuff. You know, this week I was privileged to see a draft of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's some things I'd like to argue about in there and some things I'd like to see tweaked and moved. And there's a lot of other people that are, you know, the same way. But, I mean, as the start of the Constitution, you know, where the debate's going to begin, it's solid.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Very good stuff.
And the way that it not only ensures rights and protections, but enshrines them.
Mm-hmm.
You will not mess with this.
That's right.
You will not interpret this. It is
what it says. Yeah, it is.
This is not a living document.
Black and white.
Yeah, it's pretty basic. It's a little wordy, but I think that'll get cut down in time. But, you know, posterity has shown us that one of the tools of manipulation is that our Constitution almost wasn't wordy enough because they've taken it upon themselves to interpret it.
Yes.
You know, my daughter, who's in high school, is also taking college courses. She's taking college credits as part of a program to kind of get the jump on college, and she's taking history.
Mm-hmm.
And she came home, and we were discussing the Constitution. She goes, "Dad, I'm really, really confused." I said, "Well, what do you mean? What are you talking about? You're confused." She goes, "Well, my teacher said there was an argument between Madison and Jefferson. Jefferson thought that the Constitution should be rewritten every 20 years." And I said, "Yeah, he did actually make that argument and make that thought that, you know, due to the needs and the changes of every generation, that they should redraft the document. But in hindsight, he changed his mind because Madison talked him out of it and said, 'You know, Tom, that's probably one of the stupidest things I ever heard.'" But, you know, it just shows that, you know, no one man or any one man is infallible. And I can understand the conception of where he was coming from, you know, thinking, hey, this may not meet the needs of every generation. But Madison was right. There are fundamental things that do never change. There are fundamental rights, inalienable rights, that never change.
And they should not be altered.
Ever.
Yeah.
Generation to generation, it doesn't matter. And that's where they agreed upon, okay, well, those are the things that we enshrine in the Constitution.
Right.
We actually leave the rest of it up to the people to decide.
Mm-hmm.
But according to her history professor, who I'm going to be having a phone call with Tuesday, he said that Jefferson, because of that, intentionally left the Constitution vague so it was able to be interpreted for the means of the time. And I about swallowed my own tongue. And I said, okay, I understand your confusion. Let me clear it up. He's an idiot. But I, you know, to know that that's what's being taught.
Oh, yeah.
To the kids. And, you know, I don't worry about my daughter. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
She, you know, but these other kids that haven't had constitutional studies, that don't have parents, you know, that are constitutional,
all over it.
Yeah, that are constitutional nut jobs that know it in and out. And, you know, even the concept that he would bring up the Constitution was intentionally written vague so that it could be interpreted on purpose. What's vague about the Constitution? I actually whipped out my Constitution and started reading through it again to see if I could find any part of that I found vague or nonspecific or not very, just very clear and cut and dry.
Not quite on point.
Yeah, you know, like, where is there room for interpretation there? You know, maybe I couldn't find one spot where they were, I could literally genuinely say, well, maybe they meant this and maybe they meant that. I'm not sure what they meant. So that's one of the things that, you know, we need to overcome with the state of Jefferson and some of the younger people. And I've seen some discussion of, you know, how do we get the younger people engaged? Because what I see out of millennials and people of my generation and the younger generations that are coming up is they have an idea that something's wrong. And they're very hungry to to knowledge, but they're getting fed nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And even they are beginning to figure out that they're getting fed nonsense.
They question it probably the moment it's delivered to them.
And we are developing one of the most cynical generations that I have ever seen
mm-hmm.
because of it.
Yeah.
And they're getting to the point where they don't trust anybody. They're getting to the point where they're not going to listen to anybody. And they're going to go and have to basically redraw the roadmap for themselves and their generation because they're not going to take it on faith about advice from anyone. So the poor kids are going to hit every frickin' branch on the way down to the ground
mm-hmm.
trying to find their way. And I think that's one of the things that the state of Jefferson needs to do and reach out to. And one of the things that we can fix once we're our own state with proper education system and things like that. But
Well, it's funny you hit that because yesterday I was up at the Intermountain Fair, which happens mm-hmm. over Labor Day weekend every year, northeastern Shasta County County Fair, and it's been going for 98 years, so this is the 98th year of that fair. We had our booth, our Jefferson booth there, and it's up and running today as well, and we had some young people there. And so I was sitting there with Doyle and Margie, and we're hanging out there for, what, 6 hours, 5 hours, whatever it was, and so we had some young ladies there that were college age, and one of them came over and she goes, I need to learn more about this because I know what I've learned is not right. And she had four other young ladies. They're all about 21, 22-ish, mm-hmm. somewhere in that range. And we had good discussions with them. And they kept asking the questions of going down the road of all this information that you just spoke about. And they said, gosh, and one of them piped up and said, now I feel damn cheated because my parents paid big bucks for me to go to college. I didn't learn this stuff. And I went to a public school, and I didn't learn this stuff.
Yeah.
And now she's mad. She signed the support statement because she's a Shasta County resident. And then we also had the referendums for the gun laws there. We had a whole table full of all seven of those for all different counties. And so they all signed up on that. So I got pictures of them signing. I said, hey, ladies, can I take it? Yes, absolutely. So
good.
I took their pictures, so we're going to post them out there. But that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. We're reaching the millennial age. That 20-year demographic there, and they were not happy about that. They were frustrated.
Nor should they be.
And they, you know, after we had this good discussion, they were all excited about it. They said, yes, this is great. They all took material, and they said that they were going to go share it with their friends and get them educated and force them to come back inside the building to check things out, plus we'd go online and do all that. So we're reaching them.
Good.
And that's why
it's
we're out there.
It's what needs to happen.
It needs to happen.
With that, we've got Henry on the phone.
Good morning, Henry.
Yes, good to talk to you this morning, and I think your state of Jefferson is a fine thing, but I do have a suggestion on your Constitution.
Okay.
Many years ago, when I was writing contracts regularly, I had a Superior Court judge tell me that I should write a contract in such a way that if a six-year-old read it, he could tell you what it meant. That way, judges don't have a problem with it.
Well, that's
now,
actually...
with that being in mind, there is such a thing in the legal businesses. We call it what-ifs. And you should form a committee that plays the devil's advocate. And when you come up with a phrase in your Constitution, turn it over to that committee and say, what if?
Yep.
Am I making myself clear?
Yeah,
very clear. Yes.
It's a very good suggestion.
That way, 20 years or 50 years down the line or whatever, nobody can come along and say, this wasn't written correctly or it can be interpreted in such and such a way. For instance, the Second Amendment, if Thomas Jefferson had put in there that all citizens of the United States have the right to bear arms at any time, now and in the future, we wouldn't have the debates we're having now.
Correct.
Yeah. I would make the argument that he actually did write that.
Well, he wrote it, but it seems to be up for interpretation.
There we go.
Especially with the Democratic constituency that's out there now. They want to take the arms away from people.
Well, that's Anton Scalia, before his death, said something very profound. He said, there's a problem in this country. Words no longer mean what they mean.
Well, that's exactly right. And what I'm saying is, if you had a committee that every time you wrote a phrase to your Constitution, they would sit down there and try and tear it apart.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't do it, it goes in.
There you go.
That's a very good suggestion. And one of the things that's actually written into the Constitution is that all laws, all legislation, everything presented shall be in clear and plain text and easily understood
too,
by the by
we
a layman.
Have judges in today's courts making law. That isn't their purpose to make law.
That's correct.
Their purpose is to interpret the law.
Right.
And in fact, there should be something in that Constitution that doesn't allow that.
Well, that's we're looking at a very different design on our judicial process.
Well, that's good.
You know, one of the things is I don't think very many of us believe in judges being appointed. Every one of them should be elected and subject to the will of the people.
There you go.
We also intend to reaffirm the right to a jury trial, where really the final adjudicator of the law is the people themselves.
Well, I think that's an excellent idea. But don't forget the what-ifs.
Okay.
We will.
And that is. And we will actually have 21 counties worth of people tearing at the Constitution and finding fault with it and ways around it. So.
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call.
All right, thank you, Henry.
Hey, Henry,
great suggestion.
When the draft comes out, we need you to redline it.
Yeah,
I didn't hear you.
I said when the draft comes out, we need you to start redlining it like everybody else.
Well, I'm too old to think anymore much.
Doesn't sound like it to me.
You're on it, buddy.
All right, with that, we better start thinking about getting off to our break here.
You bet. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you, Henry. Yeah, we better sneak off to our next break, get the bills paid, do things like that. If you got questions or comments, give us a call at 605-4567, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Fans of Led Zeppelin, Hendrix, and the Stones know the songs of bluesman Willie Dixon. This fall, Big Head Todd and the Monsters join forces with three second-generation blues stars, Mutt Morganfield, Billy Branch, and Ronnie Baker Brooks, to pay tribute to Willie Dixon on the Cascade Theater stage. The Big Head Blues Club comes to the Cascade Theater Thursday, September 22nd. Get tickets today at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, we're moving on now.
Well, welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind, where we will be moving up
on
and
up.
Up and up. And
moving on up.
You know, it'll work, almost like Brexit's working over there in Europe.
Yes, sir.
You know, remember how everybody was, oh, it's doom and gloom and Britain's done for. Weird, their economy's growing, manufacturing's up, unemployment's on its way down. It's weird.
And they're 86ing all the bad boys?
Yeah, they're getting...
How's that work?
Yeah, they're getting rid of the pie holes. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. How could that possibly work? No. With that, I think we've got Terry on the phone.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Oh, good.
Doesn't that song just make you want to do your happy dance?
Yeah, it does.
It does every time.
Anyway, just a couple of quick things. When you were talking about the referendums, when were you talking about the referendums on the unconstitutional gun laws California passed?
Yes, sir.
And then that kind of brings me to my second thing I want to say, and that is that the people who signed that now have a dog in the hunt, don't they?
They absolutely do, and then they just transition right over to the other signature
sheets.
There you go. And
that's
what they've been doing.
See, that's what we really have to do here, and I think that, you know, I love listening to Henry. Henry always has good words of wisdom, and he's correct in what he's saying, but the one thing that he said is that with your Constitution to Jefferson, which yours too, Henry, my friend, all the liberty we get, you get, and it's great to have people like you out there. And I think the thing of talking about the Constitution is, and I don't think people are assuming this, I hope they're not, but this is not the Constitution written by a few people. As Wynn said, this is a draft. Is that correct, Red?
Yeah, this is the draft that will be presented for the Constitutional Convention. It's a starting point for people to tear it apart and build it.
Okay, well, I think that's a good way to frame it, because I think that some people I know I've talked to have come under the assumption that somebody else is going to do the work for them. And
it's
all about the dog in the hunt. Now, we're going to be doing some things in October to where we're going to be talking to folks and to teach people in a nuts and bolts, if you will, and we can probably talk a little more about that. People have to have a dog in the hunt. You know, when somebody signs their name and they print their signature, and they write what county they're from, they now have a dog in the hunt. They're saying, yeah, we want liberty. We're tired of the oppression of California. We're tired of all these laws that oppress us. And I think the thing that would be good to talk about is what are some of the things that Jefferson would change? What are the things that bring this to the table? We have people that are working on businesses right now that are talking to businesses. How would your business be better? Well, when you're last in the United States as far as being friendly to business, it's pretty easy. I'm talking about California, of course. Pretty easy to
Sure I would agree with that. I think that California is extremely, extremely friendly to business. Our number one export is business people. We're extremely friendly to businesses in the other 49 states.
Agree.
Yeah, and all our folks are going there, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
We're helping out everybody else.
There is a policy statement that was written by Mark Baird. And, you know, the idea of that, I guess the best way to put it is that as we look at our Constitution and forming our state, right now what we have is we have a slab. But we do have a slab. We've got a concrete slab. And I think working from there, but I really want to encourage you guys to, as we frame, not to say that the ideas that I've read, of course, in this Constitution are fantastic. Henry's got a good point. We need to have the what-ifs. And I think he also makes a good point in that because of the culture of the time, the founding fathers did assume some things that people would understand. And so, therefore, in that vernacular, Henry's got a good point. We really have to be plain as day, and he's also right about that a sixth grader would have to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, guys, that's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you, Terry.
Yep.
Talk to you later.
Yeah, and, you know, Terry does bring up a good point to, you know, make everybody understand it is a draft constitution.
That's correct.
It's not, okay, yay, the Constitution done. We have a blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have a blueprint that says, okay, this is how you build a house. But there's still a great many questions that need to be answered. How many rooms does that house need?
Exactly.
How many people are going to be using the house? Is it a house that's open 24/7? Is it seasonal?
Yeah.
Is, you know, do we go with red tile on a roof or do we go with, you know, tin plating? To use the metaphor, we have a blueprint. And if you have something that's important to you, You know, if gun laws are important to you, you better have your butt in the seat at the Constitutional Convention to bring that up.
Or the Assembly says working through this process.
If you, you know, if it's important to you to protect the white-crested timber parakeet, you better have your butt there at the Constitutional Convention.
Absolutely.
If whatever your individual issue is, whatever you
your passion is,
thank you, is you need to have your butt there.
And starting at the Assembly, because you'll meet and connect with people that are of like mind or meet with people that are not of like mind, but at least you'll get there and you'll start seeing how the process is working as of that date. It's going to change things. It's like the tide. You know, as things go, that's how we go. With the processes. And as the committees form and people start taking ownership of them, like they absolutely have to do, and you own it because you are a Jeffersonian. You live in Jefferson territory. You own it. You've got skin in the game. So yeah. To sit back and just wait for other people to do the work for you is not what we're about.
Everybody that lives here has a dog in the hunt.
Absolutely.
Whether they realize it or not.
That's right.
They have a dog in the hunt. And, you know, we ourselves are learning.
Yeah,
every day. I've never written a constitution before.
It hasn't been done for a very, very long time.
It's my first go round at creating a new state.
Yeah, ditto.
So we ourselves are learning.
Yeah, and we've learned a lot of what not to do.
Yeah, we've learned a lot of what not
more
to do,
of that
what to do.
Yep.
You know, and the great thing is that the knowledge, the accumulated knowledge of the Jefferson people that are working to push this together.
Mm-hmm.
Is greater than almost anybody else that I've met, and that includes our legislators and our elected officials. The average Jeffersonian's knowledge base far exceeds anybody that we have in elected office.
That's exactly right. And
that's a problem.
And their character.
And
their character is far superior to them in elected office. And the elected office holders have proven that over and over, and they will continue to prove it over and over again when they don't support their constituency.
Yeah, they laugh.
That's the big thing. Like at the fair yesterday, talking to a lot of people saying, well, how does our representative for this area, because I'm not going to mention names, but how do these representatives support this? And we tell them, and then they're like, oh, no, they don't. Oh, yeah. And they're not happy. Once they're having that dialogue with us and they understand where we're coming from, and we can give them specific dates and times of when we've had this discussion with them, and the public, they're like, oh, that's garbage. And we explain that to them. That is garbage. So if you have a question about that, you might want to give them a call. We have called thousands and thousands of times and still have had not one response from them in a positive manner. So
they don't have to respond.
They don't.
They don't have to respond in a positive manner.
Not to their employers.
And
isn't that kind of ironic?
And that's on us.
Yeah.
Because we'll elect them anyways.
Yeah, well, not this kid.
That's our fate. Well, and there's a great many people that are waking up to that.
Yep.
With that, we got a couple of phone calls before our last break, and I'm trying to get to some bad things that California are up to that you need to know about. So, first we got Round Mountain Bob. You there, Bob?
Good morning, Bob.
Yeah, we got you. Hey, I've been up to the fair taking signatures and all that the last few days, but I've had a few people that I talked to that are very worried about some things. I know you've been over them a couple times, and maybe you can go over it a little bit again. They work for prisons, they work for schools, they work for county stuff. They're very afraid they are going to lose their jobs and stuff in their retirement because
they've already lost their retirement. Well,
Bob,
some of them have already lost their retirement.
Well, yeah, I know that. Yes.
If they're CalPERS, they're losing it.
CalPERS
and CalSTRS, yep.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to lose their jobs anyways because California is just going to keep releasing the inmates.
There you go.
Yeah, that also. But I meant they were worried about it. If we become Jefferson, that they were just going to lose their jobs. And I don't feel they would lose it because the prison would still be. They were worried because it was in our area, not in California, that we would just clean them all out and say, okay, you don't have a job. We're going to put new people in there.
Well, Bob, keep in mind with the prisons, wherever those prisoners, whatever their state residence is, the state that they reside or come from will be paying for their housing in the prison in Jefferson. So if they're from Nevada, Nevada pays for that prisoner to be in that California jail, the prison. So the same thing's going to happen when it's in Jefferson. So we're still going to need those because we're still going to have an element of that of society that we need to house in prisons. So that's going
to
keep happening.
I explained to them. I also told them that we're going to have this big meeting next month, and I told them to go online. I gave them the paperwork to go online to find out about it. But, you know, I just thought you guys would maybe touch on this a little bit again. I know you've been over it many times. I've heard it, but some people don't seem to grasp it real well.
Okay. Well, we just need to get them educated, and they'll start understanding
right.
it. Yeah.
Well, I'm also to the point, let me put it like this. If, number one, they're not going to lose their jobs, the prison's still going to operate. Number two, they've already lost their retirement because California's fumbled the football on their retirement plan. Number three, their job, if accepting scraps from their master's table is more important to them than freedom and liberty for their children, they can go to hell anyways.
Yeah.
Well.
There you go, Red.
But I just thought I'd bring this to you guys' attention because I've been to a lot of these signature things. That's one of the things that probably half a dozen or more people ask every single time. And I've gone over it with them.
I know,
made them feel better.
They'll ask
about
again,
things.
Bob. And okay. The problem is that they're not really looking to get educated. They continue to use it as an excuse. They could use it as a defensive mechanism.
Talk. He was there.
Okay.
Yeah, and the thing is too that the people that are coming in, it's always new people coming in. So that could be it too. They might be new souls coming into the movement that are asking the same questions that other souls have already asked. So,
fellas, you're doing a great job. Keep it up, and we'll talk to you probably next week.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Enjoy.
All right, and with that, we got to get to Mark Baird before our break.
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Good.
Good. I just want to say a couple of things. First, I'd like to address Bob's point, because it is a good point, and people say that over and over again. And one thing they do need to understand is that Jefferson is not the root cause of their problems. The root cause of their problems is California, but Jefferson does offer them a possible solution. And Jefferson is about solutions, not creating problems.
Right.
The reason we want the state of Jefferson is because California has caused so many problems that people here are so tired of being subjugated by the government and not having any representation and not having any say over how their tax money is spent and not having any political power in order to stop crooks like Kevin DeLeon, who should be in jail, but instead he's the president pro tem of the Senate, or Senator Leland Yee, who wants to take your gun rights away at the same time he's selling guns to the Chinese gangs, or any of those people.
Or Governor Brown.
We have Jefferson. We have Jefferson to solve those problems. So back to the pension deal. California created the problem with CalPERS and the SEIU and all of the players, the American Communist Party, as part of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they all support the Democratic leadership in the state of California.
Right.
They created a situation that's untenable. We wish to leave. We have the constitutional grounds to do it. We have legal precedent. We have case law. We have the people behind us. We have 21 counties behind us. And we wish to create a state that has solutions, and that's what Jefferson represents. Is everybody going to be happy all the time with what happens? Probably not, but I think nobody's happy with what's going on in California. And we certainly have some viable avenues to help those people who are unfortunately stuck with CalPERS so that they can not only hopefully preserve their jobs in the state of Jefferson, we can create an asset-based economy instead of a debt-based economy so they can not only keep their jobs but hope to collect some of that pension.
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
One. The second thing I'd like to address is the Constitution. The Constitution of the state of Jefferson, once again, is going to remedy the problems that the state of California has created through its Constitution, which is amendable by pretty much anybody, has been amended over 525 times now. Contains so many words, it's over 100,000 words, it's so bloated that even the President Pro Tem of the California Assembly says it's everything a constitution ought not to be, and he says it's the joke of the legal world. So the state of Jefferson's constitution will be far simpler. You cannot encapsulate everything in a constitution. There are things that shouldn't be in a constitution. They should be in your government code or your Administrative Procedures Act or whatever they're applicable to. But what we want to do with the Constitution of Jefferson, we want to codify some things and cast them in granite and make them very, very difficult to change once the people of Jefferson approve that document, so that successive loads or succeeding loads of politicians can't destroy the liberty we've all worked so hard to gain. And one of the ways that we want to do that is we want to break the monopoly that lawyers have in the justice system. In other words, the judges that we elect will not have to be lawyers. Pro se litigation will be codified so that you have the right to represent yourself, and the court is bound to help you do that in the esoteric areas like rules of evidence and how you plead your case. There'll be a mechanism so that an individual can defend himself without bankrupting his family by hiring a $700 an hour lawyer. I mean, those are some of the ideas. Those are just a few of the ideas that will be written into the framework for our Constitution to be argued at the convention. And we have a lot of other ideas that are just like that. So I just urge everyone, show up in October. If you don't know, show up. If you never heard of Jefferson, show up. Try to learn something. Educate yourself. Bring your children. Bring your teenagers. This is something here. This is your opportunity. If you have questions, come and ask them. I mean, we have a situation here where there is more lying done by the other side than any time. I can't remember this much lying any time in my life. There is more lying and cheating going on the part of our opposition to try to discredit this idea when really you can't, because liberty is the idea. And to restore liberty to Northern California will restore our economy. It will restore our sense of worth. It's going to restore our populations, and it will draw business into our economy, and Jefferson will flourish. And the opposition is scared to death of that because, as Jerry Brown said, the governor of California, he says, it's common wisdom that we need more jobs and less welfare, and I disagree. I think we need more welfare and less jobs. Jerry Brown also says, I believe in the coercive power of the central state, and California will continue to innovate, regulate, and tax. That's California. You just ask yourself, where do you want to live, Jefferson or California?
Jefferson.
The answer to me is easy.
Jefferson, any day of the week.
And we need to get off to our break here, but we're going to be actually talking about that in our last segment. We'll be explaining to you the California Secure Choice Retirement Savings Program that just passed your legislature at 4:55 on a Friday on a three-day holiday weekend and is now sitting on Governor Brown's desk.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy. Everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Come on down to the Air Force Memorial Show and Shine at the Anderson River Park Moose Grove on Saturday, September 24th from 10 till 2 p.m. This end-of-summer blowout event is free to the public and features your favorite Porsches, Corvettes, Mini Coopers, exotic supercars, and cars from the British Car Club. And be sure to get your mouth-watering tri-tip dinner for just $12. All proceeds support the Air Force Memorial Project. See you there.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, New Time, Sunday 9 a.m. to noon.
Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Throwing faith in the fire, it's time to go. Live free or die trying, gonna justify my soul. I broke the silence, I walk alone. Made friends with darkness, out here digging a hole. Every now and then you let what you love go, and the wicked things you carry swallow you up whole. Bless these bleeding hands, and what will rest below? I'm burying bones, burying bones. There's something waiting.
Back to the Jefferson State of Mind, and we're going to be discussing the new mandatory retirement program that has gone on to Governor Jerry Brown's desk. Of course, if you did what you're supposed to do and read the Shasta Lantern to stay informed, you'd already know all about this and the details of it. We did pick this up originally from Breitbart, but a new plan approved by the California legislature and sent to Governor Jerry Brown for approval will force employees of most private companies and small businesses to save for their retirement with automatic deductions from their paychecks sent to the California Secure Choice Retirement Savings Program if they do not have a 401k program at work. It is a so-called public option retirement plan that is mandatory. I don't know how you have a public option that's mandatory. But it will start out at a 2 to 5% of your total wages, of your gross wages, that will be contributed to this fund, escalating a percentage point annually up to 10 points, up to 10% of your
annual salary.
Of your annual salary. And the state of California, in their infinite wisdom and infinite confidence, will hold that money in trust and invest it for you.
Sure they will.
To be able to provide you with a retirement.
Kind of like CalPERS.
Kind of like CalPERS, kind of like CalSTRS. There is no political oversight of the fund. So the board members, who strangely are all Democrats and union nominees and attorneys, have carte blanche to invest these funds however they wish.
Oh, my gosh. So they could just invest it in the general fund?
Yes. They could invest it in CalPERS. They could invest it in CalSTRS. They could invest it in unicorn farts. They could invest it in rainbows. They could invest it on the mortgage of a rainbow that may or may not occur. They could do really anything with it that they wanted. The Wall Street Journal also carried a very large article about this and what was going on. And we ourselves have been following it intently and closely. We've been telling people on this radio program about it, I think, for almost 6 months now that this was coming.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's here.
It's here. And now we get to wait and see what Jerry Brown was doing. And I was being facetious about the 455 on a Friday and stuff, but it was to highlight the point that they snuck this in. It's mm-hmm. gone through the legislature, and it's sitting on the governor's desk.
Wow.
You think Jerry's going to sign it?
Of course.
Yeah, of course he will. So really what we're looking at is a wow. non-voluntary income tax on top of the federal income tax that we pay, on top of the state income tax that we pay. Now we're going to have another income tax that is a 2 to 5% starting tax that actually escalates annually up to 10% of your income.
They say up to 10% now.
Now.
But then yeah. later on, oh, well, it's got to be 15. No, now it's got to be 20.
But yeah. we'll give that money back to you when
yeah.
there's not even, okay, at what age does the state start to pay you back? How long do you have to be invested in this fund? If I'm 64 years old right now and I pay into this thing for a year, do I start collecting a full retirement from the state of California at the age of 65?
Mm. Wow.
How much money are we talking about in this fund? Who's going to oversee this fund?
Yeah.
Who has legislative oversight of it?
Well, according to what you said, it didn't sound like anybody had it.
Well, it says the board comprised of Democrats and their nominees, namely union reps and attorneys, has been charged with fleshing out the program's details. So this thing has gone through the legislature and is on the governor's desk. It's not even in its complete form yet. They're going to pass this and go, okay, now decide what it means.
Oh,
that's even better than
voting on it before we know what's in it.
Yeah, we have to pass it so that we can read it. They've evolved a step further than that. We're going to pass an idea and then decide what it means after we've
created it after it's been passed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. See why there's no bill number on it?
Uh-huh.
Because they're going to pass it and approve it and then decide what it means.
Oh, man.
Because do you think anything like this would actually make it through the legislature in a bill form? Do you think the people of California would sit still for a 10% income tax?
Not on your life.
No.
Well,
so,
nobody in Jefferson.
Yeah, nobody
well,
in
Jefferson. I shouldn't say nobody, but most of us in Jefferson.
And most of the people, I think, in the rest of California, they don't have another 10% to cough up.
Right. Holy cow.
Okay, so what they do is they approve the concept, the idea, and say, okay, you will create this, mm-hmm. and they pass it through the legislature. Mm-hmm. And then Governor Brown signs it and then hands it over to a nominated board to create the law around it. This is a new concept here. Yeah. This is a new way of doing business.
Well, wasn't that kind of like what they did with CARB?
Kind of. You pass the board, you set up the board, and then you create the laws after.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like CARB.
Kind of like CARB.
Yes, and it's probably going to have the same results.
Well, you know, that's people need to be looking at that and exactly what went on, because a lot of people wow. have gone, oh, well, when this comes up, we'll fight it, and, you know, they'll never pass that. they passed it without any kind of, they passed it as a nebulous concept, slipped it into another piece of legislation.
So Governor Brown signing into law this idea and concept, and then they're going to build it.
So yeah, basically they've shot through the conceptual idea, and they prove, for lack of terminology, because we've never seen anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
Then the governor approves this concept, and then hands it back to create the law, but it's already approved.
Yeah. Oh wow.
So, yeah, welcome to California. How much longer do you want to stay here?
Not
at all.
Two years ago.
Yeah, it's a terrifying program. It's going to account for billions of dollars if there's actually anybody left in California to deal with this nonsense. And it's terrifying what this could allude to and what this is establishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the precedent this is establishing, because the way that our government functions anymore is our judicial system, they don't go and look and go, oh, well, this is unconstitutional. They look at precedent. They look at case law.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, well, it flew in this instance, so this has got to fly too.
Right.
Okay, so think about what this could potentially mean for gun laws. They pass the concept, we want to increase gun enforcement. You know, we want to increase background checks. Okay, so the legislature approves that, puts it on the governor's desk. He signs it, hands it back, and says, now create the law.
Yeah, now build it.
And it's already approved.
It's already done. Yeah, so.
Geez. Is that constitutional?
Not on your life.
No. Are they going to do it anyways?
They're going to try.
They're doing it.
Well, they're doing it. Yeah, wow.
So,
all the more reason, ladies and gentlemen, for Jefferson to happen immediately.
Yeah, even if you're not a Jefferson supporter, you should be against this and what's going on in so many different ways.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not only the concept of what's going on, the fact that it's a tax, but the illegal manner in which they're conducting this.
Moral and ethics right there. I mean, the morality and the ethics on it is...
There is none.
There isn't any.
There is none.
So, aren't we supposed to have moral and ethical people in serving us?
Yeah, and if you want to know more, as I said... Go read the Shasta Lantern. It'll keep you informed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really want to dig into it, look into Joel Pollock from Breitbart. He's all over it as well.
Wow.
That's
amazing that they're pulling stunts like that. It doesn't surprise me, truly.
No.
It's sad to say that it doesn't surprise me, but just one more thing that they're going to kick us in the teeth with.
Well, and really, what are they going to invest that money into?
Yeah. Holy cow.
And I was hoping to have a little bit of time to discuss it, but we don't. There was a great letter written by a very great lady, Katie Grimes,
mm-hmm.
Who is a journalist that's all over the governor's butt 24/7.
Oh, yeah. She's good.
He has actually passed another bill, I think 1168, I don't want to say 1163, something along those lines, that basically... is a backdoor to having to get a license from the state of California to be a media source. You're going to have to be able to report approved. You're going to have to use approved methods and licensed methods and be able to report on approved things. And it all goes back to the Planned Parenthood videos, which they're trying to rule as were collected illegally.
Oh my gosh.
Which
so they're going to rule it that way and then make it retroactive on that. And then, yeah. So
there
that,
you go.
Yeah. So then anything that comes forward because of that is going to be thrown out and yada, yada, yada. The usual routine.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another thing that I'm out of patience with. It's people going, well, they can't do that.
Yeah.
Stop
they're doing
them.
It. Yeah. Stop them.
Yeah. They're daring us to stop them and we're not doing it.
Well, you'll be on a good list with a lot of other patriots that are being 86 from that. If God forbid that happens.
I better have first choice of cots. All right, State of Jefferson. Good things are happening. Bad things are happening. Keep your eye on them. Stay informed of what's going on. And we'll see you next Sunday. And until then, enjoy the weather.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Hermine gearing up for another round. The storm expected to regain hurricane strength today and take aim at coastal areas north of Maryland.
I'm most concerned about the heavy surf, the waves, the rip currents, and the beach erosion that we're going to see all along the coast from the Delmarva around to the New England, especially the south-facing shores.
Rick Knapp, director of the National Hurricane Center. Hermine has killed two people and put hundreds of thousands in the dark from Florida to Virginia. Damage assessments will take days. U.S. and Russian negotiators trying to forge a peace plan for Syria this weekend during the G20 summit in China. President Obama is there.
These are difficult negotiations. We have grave differences with the Russians in terms of both the parties we support, but also the process that's required to bring about